Jesus. I pray that today you'll be in complete control of this place, in complete control of your word, and in complete control of our hearts. As we lift up our hearts to you, Jesus, may this be a time when we lift you up and praise you as the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. Thank you, God. Thank you for worshipers. Thank you for people who come here to just give you glory. Lord, I pray, God, that this will be about you, Jesus. It'll be completely about grace and love and about the forgiveness that we receive through your blood. Lord Jesus, we want to lift you up. We want to honor you. We ask you, God, to just protect this place and keep us from the enemy. We know, Lord, the enemy attacks. We know that sometimes he prowls around like a roaring lion. And we just ask for your protection, God. We pray that you'll have your way here this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're always in control, that you are always God. Just, Lord, I want to surrender to you today. That our lives would be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable and pleasing in your sight, oh God. Be with the children as they're on the way downstairs. Thank you for them, God. Thank you that the numbers are growing and that they're learning and that those seeds are being planted deep into those fertile soil of their hearts, God. Just bless them too as they're worshiping in their way downstairs and as we're here as worshipers above, just wanting to hear from you today, God. I want to pray that every part of this will be worship. That every part, Lord, whether we're praying or hearing or singing or giving, whatever it is, Lord, it's worship, and we offer it to you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the miracles that you've been working among us, for the many lives that you're touching, for people who have, the greatest miracle of all, people who have given their lives to you, who've gotten on their knees and have asked you to be Lord of their lives, and for the changes that are happening in those lives, I praise you for that, God. But also, Lord, I thank you for the physical healings and for the reports week after week after week of people who've been prayed for, and where you've touched them and you've healed them and you've restored, God, you've restored sight, you've restored elbows that are broken, you've restored lung capacity. You've done so much for us, and we don't want to neglect the gratitude. So we just say thank you, God. We want to be in your will, and we want to know without a doubt that this is your ministry and that you will lead us. Lord, so find us obedient today. Find us a people who are willing to strive for holiness and righteousness and not to settle for anything less. And I pray, God, that your spirit will lead us now in power and in truth. And asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. Gaston, you want to come up? Gaston's going to lead us in the sharing time this morning. So bless you, bro.
I've been praying for 2 weeks. Well, my story is a story of love. When I was younger, I did not know how to love myself. God showed me how to do that. Jesus came in my life a little bit later in my life and showed me how to love myself. For he loved me first. And I discovered that. When I was a young child, I was 5 or 6 years old, I guess. And my brother molested me when I was six years old. I remember I had no hair on my body. And he was 10. But it didn't happen only once. It happened. It started. And I didn't know it was wrong. And I remember my family, they didn't hug me. My parents, they were not hugging me. I didn't know what love was. And so I embraced that as being love. I didn't know better. I was 6 years old. So my brother was only 4 years old than me. So when he was 12, I was 8. And it carried on. And when he was 14, I was 10. And when he was 16, I was 12. Now, from 12 to 6, I've been doing this for 6 years. He was a man. What do you think I went carry on to do? I pursued sex. I pursued love the way I understood it. And for me, to go to a woman or to go to a man. It was sex, didn't matter. So when I was a teenager, the important thing for me is to have what I want, which was gratification. That's why I wasted my youth chasing this stuff. And I didn't know better. And when I had girlfriends when I was a teenager, but it was all about that. And that's all I could think of. That was the chase, that was the chase. When I was a kid, it was a secret. I didn't know. But when I became a teenager, it got to a notion that it was wrong, so it became a secret. I hide it. I never told that I never told anybody that I was gay, because I'd go either way. This one. So when I was 20, I came to Alberta, and at 21, Christ came into my life, and I discovered him. But when I first knew him, I only knew him as a savior. I was born again, but I was still living the life that I had. And I only knew him as Jesus the Savior. A little bit later, I realized that he told me, I guess he waited until I was mature enough to hear him, but he told me that I was free from sin through him, not only a Savior, but I could say no to sin. And that became real to me. And then one day also he says, Gaston, you are a man. You're a man. You should have a wife. And it came as I've forgotten that. I forgot that could, that's true, Lord. I'm a man. I should be. I believe the lie. I follow a lie. A lie of deception. But I was, before I was born again, that's all I had. And through that, I did not know how to love myself. All of this pursuit gave me a low self-esteem, because it does not, being gay or chasing things that are no value does not establish you. But Christ has done that for me since. I'm 52 now. So I've learned through Christ to love myself and to accept myself. I still suffer from spiritual rejection. This is very difficult for me. Usually I'm a one-to-one basis, mm-hmm. not groups, but God is good. Where was I?
You in as a Savior.
Jesus my Savior?
Yeah.
Good. That's good. Jesus saved. I was saved at 21. It took me a number of years to walk freely. Like I did not. I every day, like when I was 21 in Calgary, I was gay. I became gay because it was easier to go out with a man than go out with a woman. Because a woman, you have to seduce, and a man just gives it to you. So it was like that. I just pursued that. But I was a man. I was born again. But God provided for me pillars. A pillar, several pillars. And God does that here, where he puts certain Christian, strong Christian men that could minister to me. I would come to Red Deer here, and I had a man that adopted me, a family that adopted me early in my years. And I'm not going to mention his name because he doesn't like to be uplifted. He likes God to be uplifted, so I'm just not going to mention his name, but he adopted me. And when I came to visit him, he knew where I came from. He knew I claimed Jesus, but he knew where I came from. Like, that gay life is an everyday thing. It's a pursuit. It just, you're in a secrecy, you're looking for a thrill, you're excited with the thrill, you take your thing and then you leave. You're left with shame, you're left with nothing. You really, it's just like chasing a fish and losing it. You're left with nothing, and it's not a life you can establish, because it's a shameful life. You know, I don't care what everybody say. You may want to establish and push it, but nobody accepts it. You get thrown rocks at. You get beaten in a park. You, it's not an accepted thing by Christian or by non-Christian either. He rejected that. So they had a whole life for that. Anyways, 21, 25, 26, I come to Red Deer, and this man would say to me, this is what he would say. He'd say, Gaston, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. This is behind you. Just leave it. Just say no to it. Just change your mind. So one day I did. I changed my mind. I changed my mind about it. I said, okay. When God told me that I could have a wife and children, wow, that was a revelation for me. All of a sudden I realized that I was lied to. I believed the lie. All that pursuit was for nothing. So right in the midst of it, I prayed for a wife. And then God said to me, He said, you could walk free. Just know that you are free. And I thought, how am I free? He said, well, I'm giving you a spirit of freedom, which is spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. So where that power is I can say no to sin. Mm-hmm. But I just recognized it in my head to be not of God. That pursuit was not of God. But God says, I'm going to cleanse you, but it's going to take time. You're going to have to say no. You're going to have to say no. Because don't forget, it was all around my life, right? My friends, my neighborhood, my pursuit, my heart, where I think of between the afternoon and Friday afternoon, go to. Two in the afternoon, you go there. You quit working and then you pursue it. You go until you satisfy your flesh, right? Every day. So I had to cleanse that. But once the physical part was free, once I became free from entering it physically, God cleansed me even further. He cleansed my mind. He cleansed my memory. Because don't forget, you can go gratify. You can go and gratify yourself with past memories. Well, you might as well just be there still if you do that. So it took me 12 years to start to walk freely away from it. There used to be a time I didn't want to go in certain places because I was afraid of it. See, my freedom is not complete yet. It took years for me not to go there, not to be afraid of it, not even been aware of it. So now, if somebody tells me that they recognize me or whatever, they say, well, I guess they used to be gay, I'm surprised because I've forgotten that. I've been married 19 years. Praise the Lord. To accept myself, and now through Jesus, I have to battle the rejection, but I have the power to do that. You know, like there used to be a time I speak among two people, and I would feel rejected for a whole week. That was my battle. So anyways, what I like about this church, I always wanted to say that in public, in here, is that I feel like we are equal, and I always knew that. I sat in pews for many, many years, but I felt like the pastor and everybody else was up there, and I was up here. And I couldn't teach for that much. But in here, it's not like that. We're equal, and we all have the same gift. Some of us are pastor, teacher, evangelist, and five-gift ministry. We're not all there. I mean, I'm a servant. It says, you want to be the greatest among you? Just serve. And it's wonderful. Like, the experience of the church that I've had in the last 15, 20 years, nothing comparable to what I've had here in 6 months. Because in the end times, I think everything gets to the pureness of what it's supposed to be. You know, the fullness of this. You are the Christian church here. It's not just anybody. That's what God was telling me. You're talking to the church. You are the church. We are the church. No, I'm going to try to quote this scripture, and I'm going to finish with this, but I really like this. Maybe Charlie can help me with that. I have it on my desk there on the wall. It says that Jesus Christ, through the eternal spirit, cleanse, I don't remember. So good. I don't remember. Say that Jesus Christ through the eternal spirit cleanse me from work that leads to death.
Yes.
Yeah. Cleanse me from works that leads to death so that I can serve the living God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for his freedom. There's a lot of pornography in the church. There's a lot of men that are caught in it. And there's freedom. There's freedom for them.
Amen.
But you need to share. We need to be willing to get the wisdom. If you're caught in something, share with someone you really trust. In here. Somebody from the church that you really, really trust. You have to trust them beyond measure. And seek the wisdom for that. And God is pleased. God is pleased when you go with your addiction and you reveal it all and you say, I want to be free. And only a little bit at a time, that's all you change, is a little bit at a time. You say one no at a time. And then next time. So thank you for your time. Father, we rejoice in you.
Yes, God.
We are here because of you. So, Father, we thank you that you speak through us for our benefit.
Yes.
So, we pray for Stan, Father. We thank you for him. We thank you for you and him. We thank you that you speak to us. Your love to establish us, Father, so we live freely and live according to your will. So we thank you, Jesus, for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Boy, that's powerful. Thank you, guys. Just a message of love, you know, that God loves us and that it doesn't matter what pit you find yourself in, or what hole, you know, what sin is the struggle that you're struggling with. God can redeem you from that. Not only can he redeem you from that, but he wants to redeem you. He wants us all to walk in purity. He wants us to walk in righteousness. And he's a God who delivers us. And I think, you know, if I was going to put it in a sentence, Gaston, that's what you're talking about, is deliverance. You've been delivered from a lifestyle that I think a lot of people would say, well, that makes sense. I can understand why you'd fall into that lifestyle, given your childhood, given what happened with your brother. And yet, Jesus says, I'm not satisfied to leave you there. I want you to be redeemed completely. I want you to live in the wholeness that I intend for you. I'm really encouraged by that. But you don't mind how I share this, I hope, but you know, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, when my life fell apart, when my sin was all revealed, when it was made clear what a scoundrel and sinner I was, I really didn't know Gaston very well, but I knew him just a little bit. I think we'd just kind of gotten to know each other in a passing way, actually, for a couple of months. But I found out since then, and this just touches my heart, actually, that both he and his wife had been praying for me and Crystal. You know, through all of that hard time, from the time when things fell apart, you know, we weren't in the same church together, we weren't working in the same circles, we weren't moving in the same community, but just that someone was praying for me through that unbelievable wilderness experience, and the brokenness, and all the hardship of that, there's just nothing that touches my heart. And I've heard that from a number of people, you know, that people were actually praying for me. I didn't believe that, I didn't know that at the time. I know now that it's the only way I got through it. It's because people love me enough to pray for me and for my wife and for grace and for forgiveness and for restoration. You know, a word that I didn't even dare say out loud. You know, that God restores. You know, is that really true? I just want to tell you today, it's really true. He's a God who restores. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, I've lived such a terrible life. I have so many struggles. I've been so deep in the sin. Maybe he'll restore some people, but he can't restore me. That is a lie. It isn't true. The heart of God, the intention of God is to restore you. His intention is not just to forgive you. He wants to restore you. He wants to bring you back into ministry. He wants to restore gifts to you. He wants to restore status to you. He wants to restore whatever the enemy has taken. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Amen?
Amen?
And so you need to hear that today. You need to hear that. You need to know that it's based on God's love. God loves you so much, He's not going to leave you where you were. He's just not going to leave you there. He loves you so much. The Father loves you so much that He sent His Son. He only had one Son. He sent His Son. He hung on the cross. He poured out His blood so that whatever sins we've committed could be nullified. They could be taken away forever. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. We're going to turn to God's Word. You can see that we have Lord's Supper coming. We're going to end the service today. Coming to Him. Confessing our sins. And it's just really cool to me how the Holy Spirit works. And you know, Gaston and I, we didn't sit down and say, well, what are you going to say? Well, what are you going to say? And none of that happened. I didn't know what He's going to talk about. This is how Holy Spirit, this is clearly how the Holy Spirit directs us. And He leads us to the table today. And there's a reason why Jesus said, do this until I come again. There's a reason why we have this, you know, demonstrative way of remembering the body and the blood of Jesus. It's so that we come and we get on our knees and we get clean again. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
We get clean again with the Father through the blood of the Son. Prepare your hearts for that. Prepare your hearts for that. Lord God, we open Your Word. And I know we prayed a lot today, but God, it's working. So we're going to keep praying. Thank You, God, for the power of Your Spirit that's here. Thank You for the truth of Your Word, Lord. We want to learn today from Your Word, and we want to come with rejoicing and with contrition to Your table and just receive what You want us to have today. Open Your Word, God. Make this clear. And Lord, if it's hard to listen to, or if it's hard to accept, if it's hard to swallow, God, help us to just see what truth really is, Lord, that we're hearing the truth of Your Word today. May Your truth be loud and clear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so back to Luke chapter 5. I know some of you are going, well, aren't there any other passages in the Bible? Well, there are, but we're not done with this yet. And it's the story of the paralytic. It's the story of the four friends. We're not going to be able to go through all the stuff we've learned before, but it's a story about, you know, I mean, how many of us really have four really good friends? You think about that. Have friends that would be that are that close, that love us that much that they would bring us to Jesus and carry us and lower us through the roof. You know what a this guy was fortunate. You know, he's blessed is a better word, I guess. He had four really good friends, and they bring him to Jesus and they lay him to Jesus' feet, and he's a paralytic. He's been that way for probably a long time, and we're gonna just read here what happens in that story, and then so. Verse 20, let's start with that because we've done this four or five times already. You know what the story's about. Verse 20, an astounding statement. It says that when Jesus saw their faith, He said, friend, getting choked up here. Your sins are forgiven. Friend, your sins are forgiven, Jesus says. And now, the rest of the story is about the fact that Jesus made that statement. The rest of what happens is about how Jesus speaks the healing into this man, and He chooses to say, your sins are forgiven. So we read from there, and it goes, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking, and He asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately, look at the obedience here. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Amen? We've seen remarkable things today because we've seen God moving, because we've seen Jesus heal, because there's real life change happening in the lives of people who are sinners and who are now saved and have turned their lives to God. A road that we were on that was going in this direction is no longer a road that we're on. Now we're on a road that leads to salvation and to an eternal life. And may we be able to say the same thing today and every day. You know, we've seen amazing things happening. And may we be the kind of people that are expecting that. You know, that it's not just happening, but that we, you know, do we come into this place in prayer and in worship saying, God, We just want to see amazing things today. We want to see the power of your mighty hand changing lives and calling people from sin through grace to a faith in Jesus Christ. We want to see amazing things. Not just we want to see, but we expect to see amazing things. That you are that kind of a God. You're a God who moves. You're a God of power. You're a God who has equipped us with the Holy Spirit. We have everything we need. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. We have everything we need because God's given us His Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Yeah, you can clap. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you equip us for what we need. Thank you that we said this last week, you're the same healer that you were last, when you were on earth. You're the same healer. You still want to touch people. You still care for men and women. You still heal people as you did back then. Last week we talked about love. If you were here, you'd have known that while we were talking about it, there was a lesson happening in it where we were trying to learn how to deal with love with someone who was hard to love at that moment because of alcohol and because of some of the distractions that he was causing. You know, those are hard things. I want to address that a bit. That's a hard thing. We're the kind of a ministry, we're the kind of a community where there's going to be hard things that happen in here, things that are not in my control or in anyone else's control. And sometimes those are opportunities for ministry. And we've seen people we've prayed over them, we've seen them change sometimes. Other times it happens and it's just a distraction, and it's a way that the enemy's trying to get us off track. And we need to be prayers. No, sometimes people think, well, Stan, he's going to know what to do. Man, you're so wrong about that. I have no idea. You know, more than half the time, I don't know what to do. I don't know. But I do know this, we need to pray. We just need to pray. Lord, show us and protect this place and keep the enemy from banging on our gates. And Lord, just show us when that does happen, what that opportunity is, God. And give us eyes to see things that the physical eyes don't see. Amen. So it was a lesson in love. And it was a lesson that really talked about how none of this is going to happen. We're interested in healing. We want to see people changed. We want to see the physical healing even happening. None of it's going to happen if it's not about love. We need to love. All of it is just a loud gong. It's just a clanging cymbal unless we really have the love of Christ. That it's that context of love that the miracles and the signs and the wonders come out of. Do you hear that? It comes out of love. And if it comes out of anything other than love, it is not of Jesus. Now today, we have the story of the forgiveness. And, you know, there's the religious people, the leaders, and they're saying to Jesus, well, why did he say it that way? Why did he say your sins are forgiven? And in their mind, that was blasphemy, right? And Jesus goes on to explain to them that it doesn't really matter what words he uses. And I think that's kind of a cool thought. But he says, it doesn't matter whether I say to you, take up your, you know, stand up and take up your mat and walk, or whether I say your sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because the man is healed.
Right.
It's not about the words. I think the interesting teaching today, though, is that those two things are somehow related. And we want to talk about that a bit today. That the forgiveness that we need in our lives, that being rid of the sin, okay, if I put it that way, we need to find a way to get rid of our sin. We need to come to the cross. And that when we don't do that, sometimes there's a sickness, or there's an illness, or a malady, or there can be a brokenness in our lives, because of what's happening internally affects the external. Okay, do you understand that?
Yes.
We need to understand that. We are holistic people. You know? You're one. You have your body, and your spirit, and your mind, and your soul, right? It's all one. We're not just, and you can't separate those things. You can't separate the physical from the emotional, let's say. You can't. Those things are connected. We are whole, a whole person, created to be like Christ, right? Created by God. And yet, you know, a lot of times, we do seem to separate those things. We think that the physical is different from the rest of us, that the internal is separate from the external in our lives. It isn't true. I'm going to use an example, and it's going to be a tough example, and some of you maybe aren't going to want to hear this teaching, but I want to talk about what happens when we're sexually promiscuous. Okay? And suddenly everyone's going to listen to this. Because whenever you talk about this, whenever we talk about this, then suddenly the ears go up. Okay. You know, we live in a world. Please bear with me and just check this with God's word. If you don't believe what I'm saying today, get in the Bible. Read it, okay? We live in a world where we're taught that what you do with your body is unrelated to the rest of you. And that sex, and even if you have multiple partners, and you have casual sex, and you have it over and over and over again with all kinds of different people, that it's just sex. That's really the message of the world. That's just sex. It's just an urge. It's just a biological thing that happens, but it doesn't connect with the rest of us. And that's a lie. That's a lie. That it connects with what's going on with me emotionally, and it connects with me spiritually, and it has a toll that it pays in my life when I go down that road. When I go down that road. Okay? Let's just listen. Let God speak today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm one person. Body and soul and spirit. I'm one. And sex, a lot of times people think, well, if I have sex, when it's over, it's over. That isn't true. That's what we look at, though. Bear with me here, right? When the sexual act is finished, then it's finished. And when you roll over and you say, well, was it good for you? That's the end of it. But that's not the end of it. And the truth is that it's still, here's the message, it's still intermingled with the essence of who I am. That act, what I did, that soul tie, as some people talk about, that tie, I've tied myself to another individual, that is still intermingled with my emotional and my spiritual person, with who I am. And that you can't separate those things. And that when I do, and I think it's just a physical act, I'm being lied to, and I believe that when I believe that lie. And that a lot of times, when we're promiscuous, or when we treat sex casually, a lot of times we're left with a whole lot of residue in our lives, a whole lot of a whole lot of garbage that we have to deal with, maybe not physically, although sometimes the consequences are physical, but we need to deal with it spiritually, and we need to deal with it emotionally. God says that the sexual relationship is a sacred thing. The world says it's a casual thing. And when you treat sex casually, or when you treat it randomly, it's just a random thing, and you do it or you don't do it, and you think it's no big deal, and you don't treat it as a sacred thing, and you don't realize that your body is the body of the Holy Spirit. It's the body, it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you don't realize that, what God's word is saying is that you risk doing damage to yourself spiritually or emotionally. That you're a complete individual, body, soul, and spirit. And that what you do in one of those areas affects the other areas. You understand? You understand? What I really am saying here is that your genitals are connected to your heart. And anyone who tells you otherwise isn't telling you the truth, okay? It's connected to your heart. It's connected to who you really are. And there are people who are suffering today, maybe even some of you, for the consequences of the way that we've lived. There are people who have lived with that kind of promiscuity, who have lived as if sex wasn't sacred, but it's just random, and it's casual, and what they're left with is immense and deep loneliness. Real loneliness. Or incredible self-pity. A lot of people just feeling sorry for themselves and thinking they don't amount to anything, and that they're not worth a thing. And they're filled with that demonic kind of self-pity. And I know people who walk around their whole lives because of the choices that they made when they were younger. And because they have not received forgiveness. I'm going to get to that, okay? There's good news coming, all right? There's really good news coming. But there's that loneliness in people that just is gripping. And that self-pity where you feel completely worthless because you have treated yourself and the temple that you are with that same kind of casual, random, worthless attitude. Are you following me? Your genitals are connected to your heart.
And it's how you choose to live that's going to determine what kind of baggage you carry along with you. It really is. People who struggle with that loneliness and those feelings of complete self-worthlessness. Just they're not worth anything. Because they don't recognize how precious they really are in God's sight. They don't recognize that God has such a better plan. And that God's plan, listen to me, God's plan is not that this wonderful thing, and believe me, I think sex is wonderful. I really do. I think it's one of the greatest things God's ever given us. But that God gave it to us in a context. And that context is marriage. And it's a context of making promises before a community of people who hold us to that promise. Did you hear that? Because I'm going to say it again. That God's, you know, there's marriage. It's like it's a fire. Sex is like fire. It should be in a fireplace. Otherwise it gets out of control. And the fireplace, right? The fireplace is marriage. And marriage is where we make promises in the eyes of God and in the eyes of our community and our friends. People who will hold us accountable. And they will say, you made that promise, you stick to it. Amen? That's just one example. There's lots of others, you know. And the point, I want to just remind you of the point, because then you go home and you go, I didn't get it. The point is that how we live, you know, and the sin that we allow in our lives can affect us physically. It can affect us in terms of what we need for healing. We can get sick. There are sicknesses that can happen to us because of the choices that we make and the sin that we allow in our lives. We can actually be physically sick. Another, just a quick example, is someone who did somebody, some, a lot of us have done a lot of bad things in our lives. Maybe you did something that was really hideous and terrible years ago, but nobody knows about it, right? You've been pulling it off. You've gotten away with it. You didn't confess it to anybody. You think, well, I made it. I'm free. You're not free. You're not free. Sometimes we carry the guilt and the shame of what we did years and years ago, and it's never been confessed, and we think we've gotten away with it. But let me tell you something. You never get away with it, okay? You never get away with it. You carry it with you. You continue to carry it with you. Okay. Now, Psalm 32. Turn with me in Psalm 32. Here David says, Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now listen to what he says. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. In other words, when I didn't confess my sin, he says, my bones were aching. When I didn't confess, when I didn't come clean with God, then my bones wasted away. And day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. That's what God does. We don't confess our sins. His hand is heavy on us. It weighs on us. He wants to bring us to our knees. He wants us to get clean. He wants us to be right with him. Your hand was heavy upon me. And then listen to the next thing that the psalmist says. He says, for my strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. My strength was sapped. I was without any energy because I didn't confess my sin. What is God's word saying? It's saying that these are some of the actual things that can happen in our lives when we don't come clean with God. Your bones can ache. Your back can be sore. You can be out of energy. You can have fibromyalgia. You can have all kinds of problems with strength in your life. All kinds of problems with strength in your life because you have not confessed. Do you need prayer? Want me to pray for you? I'd like to pray for you.
Why?
Because I think you need some prayer. You know that God loves you?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. Look into my eyes.
Yeah.
What's your name? Tell them what you
need.
Dorit?
Dorit.
Dorit?
Yeah.
Okay, and what do you need from Jesus? What do you really need today?
I need forgiveness.
Yeah, you do. Let me put this away then. You're right, you need forgiveness. You know what? Listen to me. Listen to me. Jesus wants to forgive you.
Yeah, you need Jesus.
He does.
God is my Lord.
He's your God and he's your Lord, right? He wants to forgive you. He wants you to get a brand new start today, dear. Okay? There's a couple ladies going to come around. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray for victory. We're going to pray that the sin that's in your life is gone forever. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You believe that God can do that, dear?
Lord, in Jesus'
name. Lord, in Jesus' name.
I will.
Thank you, God. So, God, I pray for my sister here. And I thank you that she's here, God. I really do. I thank you that she's here. And she needs to be set free, God. She needs to be set free by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so I pray, God, that you'll touch her. She is your Savior, God. You are her Savior. She loves you, God. She needs a freedom from addiction, freedom from this alcohol, and a brand new beginning and a brand new start. And you are a God of grace. And we know that is your desire to give this to direct, God. And so we infer this, Lord, from your Holy Spirit into her heart. Thank you, God. In Lord, in Jesus' name. Yes. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Give me a hug. Okay. All right. You want to sit?
Yeah,
okay.
Praise
God.
Give me a dollar, I'll go sit.
I will not do that. Silver and gold have I none. No. Thank you, Lord. With Bonnie, maybe. There's no contestants. The message is, listen, the message is really simple. The message is that sometimes the way we live and the things that we do can affect us physically. And maybe today you need to consider that. Maybe what you need in your life, maybe the miracle that you've been praying for or the change that you think you need in your life, it isn't happening because there's unconfessed sin in your life. At least you should consider that possibility. That, you know, that it affects that the way we live and our past, especially a past that has not been reconciled, or a past that has not been given and placed under the blood of Jesus Christ, that can leave us sick. It can leave us ill and weak with sore bones and probably a whole lot of other things too. When the Corinthians were taking the Lord's Supper, they were told by Paul that they should not be eating and drinking judgment against themselves. And what was happening in the early church and in the church in Corinth is that some of the people were coming to the feast, to the love feast. They're coming to the Lord's Supper, and they were being gluttons. And in fact, the richest people were doing that. The poor people were providing more food than the rich people. And they were just eating, and they didn't care, and they were drinking. They were becoming drunk. And Paul says, when you do that, when you allow that kind of sin in the church and in your lives, when you do that, you're eating and drinking judgment unto yourself. And then he goes on, a very interesting line, listen to this. And he says, that is why some of you have become sick. And that's why, he said, some of you are weak. And it's why some of you have fallen asleep. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? That when we allow sin, and that's just one example, but when we allow sin in our lives or in our church, we say, it's okay. And we sometimes do that as a church. Let's admit it, right? Sometimes we don't hold the standard high enough. We don't think the standard is Jesus Christ. We think the standard is Colleen or Pastor Stan or Jill or one of the rest of us fallen saints. You know, we're not the standard. The standard is the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when we compromise that righteousness, listen, when we compromise that righteousness, we may very well grow weak or sick, or some may fall asleep. They may die. Because we've allowed that sin, listen, we've been allowing that sin to be in control instead of allowing Jesus to be in control. Thank you, God. How we live, and I want you to think about it today. God woke me up in the middle of the night last night and threw a few watches at the night. You know, I was praying first of all for you, and then I kind of got the message that I was supposed to be praying for me. And started to think about repentance and my life. And it's amazing that once you actually start thinking about unconfessed sin, and I looked at my own heart and started with one thing, and then it went to another thing, and then it went to some resentment I was starting to harbor for a few people, and then it went to some of the way that I'm spending my time, which I could spend in a whole lot more profitable ways, and then it went to what my eyes wanted to see and what they shouldn't be seeing. And you know, it just escalated. It went from one thing to another, to another, to another. And it was such a blessing, honestly. It was such a blessing to finally lay it all down before Jesus and say, okay, I'm a sinner. And I know that I'm guilty of pride. I know that there's lust in my life. I know that I'm intolerant sometimes of people and I judge people wrongly. And the whole list, Jesus, I lay it down at your feet, Jesus. And I pray that your blood would just cover me right now. You know, there's an amazing release. You want to talk about freedom? Freedom doesn't happen until we bring it to the cross. Until we acknowledge that we're sinners and we give it to Jesus Christ. And I spent a couple hours last night just rehashing my life. And there were things that I should have repented about months ago. Maybe even more than that. And once you, the thing the Holy Spirit does is once you begin in that, He starts to reveal more. And then as you go down that road, he reveals that a little bit more. And it becomes more in depth. Because God wants to do a cleansing work in my life. God wants to do a cleansing work in this church and in your lives as well. In James chapter 5, we know James chapter 5 and we quote it quite often. Thank you. You know, about how if you need prayer, what does it say? If you need prayer, you should go to the elders and they'll anoint you with oil for the prayer, for the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We know that passage. Do you know what? We misquote that. Almost always that passage gets misquoted. Let's read it, what it really says. We miss the middle part. And the prayer offered in faith will make that sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if they have sinned, see, all of a sudden he gets into sin. We don't ever quote this part. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Amen. Are you getting it? This is the message that God has for you today. That it's connected, that your forgiveness is connected to your healing. That your forgiveness is connected to your healing. That your forgiveness is connected to your healing. Are you getting it? That God isn't all that interested. Well, He's interested. He is interested in what's on the outside of you, but He is more interested in what's on the inside of you. And that we tend to come to God like the leper and say, God, touch me, God, touch me. And God says, I'll touch you, but not until I can touch your heart. Because it's your heart that I need to touch first. And then I'll deal with your sore back, or I'll deal with your lack of hearing, or I'll deal with the cancer, or whatever else it is in your life. But I want to touch you on the inside first. Amen. So it's a call today. It's a call to confession. It's a call today to come clean. Come clean. Take a good hard look at your life. Take a good hard look at what you've been doing and who you are and how it's really affected every part. It's time to get on our knees. It's time to repent. It's time to come with humility before Jesus and listen and to ask Him for something that He's so ready to give. Sometimes we think, oh, he's going to give this begrudgingly. He's not going to give it grudgingly. Jesus wants to give you that forgiveness. But it will only happen when we come in true repentance. A few weeks back, there was a lady here in church who phoned me up, or actually a friend of hers phoned me up and said she had a prophetic word for us, and that it was meant for us, and it was something that we should take seriously from God. And I said, well, I'd like to hear it, and I'll pray about it, and, you know, I'll seek God, and I want to know whether this really is from God or not. She was a stranger to our church. I think it was the first Sunday she'd been here. She was here a couple times. She was here last Sunday, I think, as well. And I read through this. It's a prophetic word. It's from someone who has a gift in the prophetic. She's a prophetess is what she is. And this is the word. And I believe after reading it, I prayed about it. Because I don't take this lightly. I think it's serious stuff. And I know that sometimes this can really be abused. So I try to take this seriously and really seek God. And, you know, is this really the voice of God? I believe this is God's word. I believe this is a word through her for us today. And I want you to be encouraged as you listen to this. Her name is Patty. And she writes this. Lord, your word does not return void, but accomplishes what it was sent out to do. You said signs and wonders will follow your word being preached. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit is saying. open our hearts to receive your word. And thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to correct us.
Amen.
Matthew 3 says that in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord and make straight paths for him." And so, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. In Matthew 4, "For from that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And in Mark 1, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." In Mark 6, they went out and preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Wow. Then one more scripture. In 2 Corinthians 7, it says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. And it leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." And now I think more her words. She backed this up with scripture, which I think is just so appropriate. She says this, "God is looking for true repentance. Will we take offense, though this may for some be a hard word, or will we heed the word and repent?" Repentance needs to come. Many are very gifted. The gifts and callings are without repentance. But God is looking for godly character. And when we stand before him, will he say to us that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven? Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" And then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Without repentance, there is no deliverance. An enemy sometimes waits until we are at the height of our ministry and then causes us to fall to that very sin that has not been confessed and renounced. God says, "Do not hide your sin, for the enemy is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And one day, the enemy will expose our sin and cause us to fall. Great will be that fall. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees all. Let us all know true repentance, as the kingdom of God is at hand, right at the door. Everything pertaining to the kingdom, deliverance from bondages, healing, and launching us into our ministries. Repentance needs to be our daily walk, not just a one-time occurrence. We need to daily come before the Lord and walk away from our sin. And walk away from our sin, as our friend Gaston said so well. Walk away from. God loves us so much, he wants us to be free, delivered, healed, and launched into our calling. But true repentance must come first to close the door to the enemy. God is calling us to be a pure and spotless bride. He is looking for vessels of honor prepared for the Master's use. The blood of Jesus sets us free. For in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. God is calling us all to a life of repentance. How are we going to respond to the call? Let's pray. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for this word, and we receive it from you, God. We know that it's backed with scripture. We know that it ties into the word of God, its truth. And that each of us today needs to examine our own hearts and just decide how we're going to respond to you, God. I pray, God, that today you'll forgive us for being flippant and careless and forgetful about coming to you. Forgive us, God, when we have not nurtured a heart of contrition and repentance. Forgive us, Lord, when we've thought it's no big deal and we've just gone on living the way we live. And open our eyes today to see that this is a big deal and that it affects every part of who we are. It affects every part of who we are. I pray, God, today that we really will experience the freedom, that there will be freedom in this place. And we declare that that freedom will come when we get on our knees before you and when we confess our need to be covered under the blood of Jesus Christ once again. And mostly today, Jesus, I'm just so thankful that you are ready to forgive. I'm thankful, God, that your word is so clear that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just, and that you will forgive us and you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, open our hearts right now. Open our minds and our memories even, God, of the things that we need to bring before you. Things that need to get cleaned up in our lives, God. Right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that we will begin that cleaning up process. That process of sanctification, of washing us clean through the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. God, show us where our attitudes have been amiss. Show us when we've been greedy, when we've been filled with pride, when we've been intolerant of people or judgmental of people. Show us, God, and forgive us. God, show us when we have contributed to the brokenness of others. Show us, God. When we've taken advantage of the weak or the poor, Lord, show us. Show us our own arrogance. Show us, Lord, the times when we were so sure that we were right, when being right had nothing to do with it at all. And forgive us, God. Show us, God, when we've contributed to disunity and discord, when we've gossiped or slandered or said things about brothers and sisters that should never have been said, God. Bring that to our minds and forgive us, God. Show us, Lord, the relationships that we've had in our lives and the mistakes we've made and the casual, random ways that we've gone about those things. Times when we haven't treated our bodies as sacred and as a temple of the Holy Spirit, God, show us and reveal that. And then, Lord, remove it from us. Remove it from us forever by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Show us, God. Show us our failures, Lord, as husbands and wives and as children, as workers. And show us, Lord, that there are so many ways that we've grieved you, and we've grieved your spirit, and we've quenched your spirit. And let us confess that and leave that, God. We want to leave it today. We do not want to take any part of this with us today. But we want to leave this at the foot of your cross, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, yeah, I just pray that we will learn to trust you, and we'll learn to trust each other so much better that it will be natural for us to actually confess our sins to one another. That it will be natural for us to sit down with a brother or a sister and just come clean. And just tell the truth. I pray, God, that you'll nurture that among us. And so today, God, as we come to your table, I can't think of a better response. I can't think of a better way but just to come and to receive what you gave us way back then, Lord. Way back. Way back when you walked on the earth, Jesus. Way back when you had this communion, this supper with your disciples. We take of it today, Lord. We remember and we believe and we leave our sins. We leave our sins with you, Jesus. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. This morning, a lot of times when we do Lord's Supper, either we'll pass it out or you come and pick it up and you sit in your chair and then we wait for one another. Today we're not going to wait for each other. This is more of a personal coming to the Lord's Supper today. And I invite you to come and take the bread and take the juice. And you can kneel or you can go back in the back corner or you can go in the prayer room. You can find a quiet place. And I really encourage you to spend some personal, intimate, quiet time with God. And confess. And leave it. And I hope you're hearing that part of it. You don't need to take this with you. If you're taking it with you, you're not listening very well. You need to leave this at Jesus' feet. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. There is redemption, and there is a cleansing of all of our sins. Jesus, the night he was betrayed, the night before he went to the cross, the night before he bled on the cross, he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body. This is my body, it's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just remember. And after they'd eaten the bread, he looked at his friends. He looked at them in the eyes and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's a new covenant. It's not an old covenant. It's a new covenant. It's about blood. It's not about the blood of a lamb or about a goat. It's about the blood that I'm about to spill for you tomorrow. This blood is a new covenant. I love you. And I pour this out as a sacrifice so that your sins are completely and are forever paid for. And that is good news." We eat of one loaf. I know there's two there, but we eat of one loaf. And that demonstrates our unity. We're one. We stand together, man. You are my brothers. You are my sisters. I go to war with you. I depend entirely on your prayers for me. And I pray for you. We are one in the Spirit of God. And we will do this until he comes again. We will do this. We will do this again unless he comes before. We will do this because it is a proclamation that Jesus Christ is alive, that he is risen from the dead, and that our sins are covered by him. Amen. Woo! We will do this until we do this with him at that great banquet feast in glory. So come and celebrate. Come and break your hearts before God and worship him.